Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Be Radiant Radio. You are made of light and you are made to shine. Positive, uplifting, and helpful. Welcome to the show where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Angela Loeb, and thanks for joining me for today. I have a question for you. What do you love and what are you doing it? Are you doing what you love? And how about the question that some people see is at odds with the concept of loving what you're doing, and that is, do you feel successful? Will Rogers once said, if you want to be successful, it's just this simple. Know what you are doing, love what you are doing, and believe in what you are doing. And what do you think about that? Was Will Rogers just full of, well, you know, was he speaking to something that we all hope for? Maybe he was, you know, putting to words what we all hope for, but many of us just don't know how to get it. So today, I want to talk about this concept of love what you're doing. And first off, let's talk about success. Will Rogers refers to success, and I want to talk about that and the truth about success. This is where I want to challenge you to look at what it means to you. I want to take it down to the micro level where you live. Make this about you personally, not what our society thinks is successful. Of course, you might have adopted some societal definitions about success, and that's okay. What I really want to do, though, is I want to get authentic, and I want you to get honest with yourself. What does it mean to you personally? Does it mean that you're earning a certain level of income? Does it mean that you've risen to a certain level in your professional field? Does it mean that you're able to own certain stuff and live in a certain kind of house, in a certain kind of neighborhood? Actually, those are some excellent external measurements of success. And yes, I do mean to use the word excellent. I'm not going to judge you and say that those things are too shallow, that you shouldn't, that you should be more enlightened than to want money or the things that money can buy. Hey, I often quote Wallace D. Wattles, who wrote the definitive book on wealth mindset, The Science of Getting Rich. I believe in what he wrote so much that I converted his book into a course with my colleague Tom Cassidy. I believe in that work so much. So let me tell you what Wattles says about money and wanting money. And by the way, his book is not about how to make or manipulate money. You think the book called The Science of Getting Rich is about that, but it's really more about developing an abundance mindset, about transforming yourself into a person who makes the most of his or her potential so that you can manifest the life and the stuff in your life that you want. Anyway, in the first chapter, which is called The Right to Be Rich, Wattles points out that to live a successful life, you need to have money. It's the way society is organized that you need it, and you need it to take care of your loved ones. He talks about money enabling you to take care of yourself, of your food, of feeding your body. It allows you to develop your intellect, and it's necessary, he says, for your soul development as well. He says, to live fully in soul, man must have love, and love is denied expression by poverty. He concludes that, quote, it is perfectly right that you should desire to be rich. If you are a normal man or woman, you cannot help doing so. It is perfectly right that you should give your best attention to the science of getting rich, for it is the noblest and most necessary of all studies. If you neglect this study, you are derelict in your duty to yourself, to God, and humanity, for you can render to God and humanity no greater service than to make the most of yourself, close quote. So, he says, basically, it's your duty to learn how to be successful in getting wealthy. And when you do this, you can learn to make the most of your life. You can afford to make the most of yourself and your life. So no, I don't agree that using external measures of success like money and the lifestyle that money allows you to have is somehow not enlightened. On the contrary. And that's because I think it's more about how you get there to that successful place you've defined. I mean, basically, this is the question. Is love involved or denied along the way? And that is really what it comes down to. I'm not kidding. I mean, I'm not the first person to get how important it is that love is involved in what it is that you're doing. Have you ever seen the movie? I mean, actually, they've made several movies out of it, or read the book, The Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. It's Scrooge's great lesson in the story that success in love, success in money. He talks about, you know, because Scrooge is all about hoarding money and not spending money, but he realizes that success and money without love along the way, it just is shallow and it's empty. So he becomes enlightened when he sees a loving use for his money. So I won't tell you the whole story. I won't give it away in case you've never seen it or read this classic book, but that's really what it's about. So having money or wealth to afford the ability to live beyond survival, I can expand my mind, and who knows what I can contribute when I use money for education and books and I mean, just simply internet services to be able to pay for the internet. Who knows how much more enlightened I'll become when I expose myself to experiences in other cultures. Like, if I get to travel and be awed by the diversity of other cultures and landscapes, how will that expand my mind? So you see, making money, being able to afford a certain kind of lifestyle that you desire, being able to travel, or whatever those external definitions of success, that whatever they are for you, they're important. And they are important success factors to many people, including me. So, of course, you know, we've been talking about that, the visible measures of success. So when we're talking about success here, you might also pick less visible ways to define success, like, okay, if you're defining career, success in your career, you might say it's when you receive really great satisfaction ratings from your customers. Or maybe it's running a team of people that have high morale and they're loyal and there's not very much turnover in your team of people that you manage. I mean, these are all like more, they're less visible signs of success, but they can still be the way you might define success, and especially if you're looking at a career. So again, the question is, what is success for you? And notice that I'm not saying anything about measuring success by the standards that other people set. I've consulted with a lot of clients who were completely hung up on how their parents measured success. So I'm not really talking about that at all. As a matter of fact, I'd like you to be able to move beyond how your parents measured success or how you would have liked your parents to measure success. I'm also not suggesting that success is a comparative thing, like I'll be successful when I have more than my neighbor does or if I have the same things my neighbor has. So listen, whenever you feel less than someone else, that is to me the opposite of success. You're not going to feel successful. You're just going to feel less than. So what I'm doing here is encouraging you to look closely at what you think defines success, not what others think. The truth about success is that it's most fulfilling when it's being declared from this place inside of you that's authentically you, that place inside of you that from which you set your goals and you push your potential, whatever that unique potential is that you have. Now, that brings us to the question, if we move past success and we want to talk about the love part of this, are you doing what you love? And for some of us, that it's even more basic that we need to start from, like, the question of, do I even know what it is that I could do that I love to do? So let's take a quick break, just a one-minute breather, and when we come back, we'll discuss the idea of doing what you love and loving what you're doing. And I have some suggestions for you about this because, of course, this is what I do for a living. I help people get into jobs they love or to look at the bigger picture of their life and figure out what can they be doing that they love. So this is something I have a lot of suggestions around. So when we come back, we'll talk about that. Welcome back to Love What You Are Doing on Be Radiant Radio. Thanks to Kevin MacLeod for that sweet little tune. It's called Heartwarming. Now, we just talked a lot about the definition of success. What would you have to do or be in order to consider yourself successful in your life? And I'm encouraging you to look within and find that definition according to what you really want, not what someone else wants or what someone else has that you could use to compare yourself to. And, I mean, wouldn't it be nice to be only comparing yourself to yourself for a change? I've been looking at this question a lot lately. For me, the answer keeps coming up that what I want now that will make me feel like my life is a success and that what I'm doing is what I love, it isn't even close to what I thought I wanted when I was in my 20s, mostly because my life's orientation has changed. What was important to me then isn't the same as what's important to me now. And it's also because when I was in my 20s, I didn't have enough self-knowledge to know what was possible. I mean, I had some vague ideas about what I might be talented in based on the grades I got in school, for instance, or, you know, I mean, or what I might be doing in my kind of start of my career and those little jobs I was having. But really, I think it's the experiences that we have in all areas of our life that really show us what we're really capable of. So I don't know about you, but this is something that I've been just thinking a lot about lately, and I think it's important as we go along. And I'm working with people who are in their 20s as well, and I see them grappling with this question about what can I do, what will I love. Maybe they studied something in school, and they thought that was it, and then they started to work toward that and realize that isn't really it either. Their parents gave them advice, or maybe guilt, and they started working on that and realized that's not really it either. So this crisis comes up for us occasionally through our lives. It's pretty common. So here's what I really, going back to the idea about the experiences that we have that show us what we're really capable of, here's the thing. I mean, you get into something, a situation you're in, or a problem you're trying to solve, good or bad, doesn't matter, just it's a situation or a problem you're in. And this thing happens, and you're showing up in the experience. You react to it in a certain way. And this certain way is your natural way of being. You don't even notice what you're doing that might be exceptional or notable because you're just showing up and you're doing it. Then other stuff happens, and there you are doing it again and again. You're rolling along in your life, doing what you do, and probably taking it for granted. You're not even thinking too consciously about it because you just show up and you just do what you do. And then one day it occurs to you that you want to be making a difference in your life or with your life, in your job or whatever, and you have no idea that you are making a difference already because of the way you show up in these situations, and then you just do your thing. You know, but that's okay. I'm talking about the majority of people doing this. So this is like very common. So don't despair if you're one of these kind of people that you just don't see it because you're so close to it. You don't realize you are making a difference already. Anyway, you have this nagging feeling. So here's what you do. I know this, by the way, because these are the things I see with my clients. Some of you will have this nagging feeling and then try to determine if you have the job that you need in order to make you happy. And sometimes it's a yes, or if not, you make a change and it works and yahoo, you're doing something you love. But maybe that doesn't work for you, or for some of you, the experiment of changing jobs isn't giving you what you need. And some of you will stay stuck in that job that isn't quite right for you, either out of loyalty, duty, commitment, or maybe because you're just not too cool with handling change. You know, better the devil you know than the devil you don't. That might be your motto. So you stay there because you know it, even if you're not happy, and you stick with it. There you go. Or maybe you stay stuck because you haven't figured out what would be better. And there are some of you who don't worry at all. I mean, this is sometimes I come across this. Don't worry at all if you have the job you love because you're doing what you love somehow, some other way. Maybe you just see the job as a means to an end. You know, it pays the bills. It doesn't have to be the way you make a difference. I see this sometimes with people who've decided that they make a difference. Maybe they make a difference in the creativity they express. Maybe they do some sort of an artistic creativity like music, acting, writing, painting, dancing, and so on. They don't make a living with this creative expression, not necessarily. Maybe they make a little money, but that's not their main living. but they're doing what they love in their life, and they consider that to be success, that they get to do it. I also see this with parents sometimes. They make a difference with their kids, and the job is just a job to help provide for their families. And where they make a difference, the kind of difference they want to make, is in their family life. And then I also see people volunteering and doing charity work, and they are doing what they love. So a lot of times I see that as well, and their job is just their job, and it pays the bills. But what they do in their off time, either with their church or with a charity organization or whatever, that's where they feel like they are getting to do what they love. Now, these are the people that fall in these kind of categories, I think, that who have found that doing what you love doesn't have to be something you get paid for, you know, with money anyway. And so out of all these categories, where do you fall? Well, I mean, let me be clear. I'm not saying that any one of them in particular is correct or incorrect. Trying to find the work you love so you'll love what you do and get paid for what you love is perfectly fine. And not caring if you get paid for it is perfectly fine, too. And the fact is that your priorities will change as your life changes. So what you used to think you love may not still be what you love. I know, this is so complicated, isn't it? But the fact is that your levels of self-awareness, that will change too, and that's okay too. So let's go back to what Will Rogers said. Let's see if we can break this down, make it simpler, because I know this is a complex topic. He said, if you want to be successful, it's just this simple. Know what you are doing, love what you are doing, and believe in what you are doing. Now, I'm telling you that the thing that he talks about, this first thing, the success, if you want to be successful, you have to define it. What is it for you? That's so subjective, right? So I can't sit here and say this is what he means, because really success is something that's meaningful to you. So, but here's a definition according to the dictionary. I don't think it's going to necessarily help, but let me give it to you anyway, and you'll see what I mean. Did you know that success is, according to the dictionary, the accomplishment of an aim or purpose? That's it, the accomplishment of an aim or purpose. So when you want to define your success, you basically have to define your aim or purpose. And I'm telling you that your aim or purpose is basically what it is that you want to do to make a difference. Let me quote from this article. There's an article I came across it's 2008. So it's an older article. It was in the Christian Science Monitor. It's about what employees want the most in order to be happy. And I came across it when I was preparing to give a presentation to HR, to human resource managers, about employee hiring and retention. And so the article says that John Izzo, who's the president of this workplace consultants group in Vancouver, Canada, John Izzo was asked about this in the article, and he said that they surveyed 250 people to reflect on their long careers. And he said he heard this recurring theme about what gives them the deepest satisfaction and contentment. And he said, many told me the corner office and status, now that I look back, really had no meaning, but the feeling of making a difference did, he said. So Mr. Izzo said that if it was what they gave back that gave them the greatest happiness. So the deal is what is it that makes you feel like you make a difference? Because, well, surveys like this one and others that I've come across in my studies and working with retention, hiring and retention, it is all about how you make a difference and knowing how you make a difference. So going back to Will Rogers' quote, he says that if you want to be successful, you need to know what you are doing. Now, that sounds a lot like self-awareness to me. Like, what is it that you do to make a difference? Well, what is it? Remember what I said before? You have no idea that you are making a difference because of the way you show up in situations and then do your thing. Will Rogers says that you should know what you are doing, and I agree. Next, he says, love what you are doing. Now, some of you already know what that is. If you're doing it, hooray, great. You're probably not even listening to this program if you already know, because why would you be attracted to a title, Love What You Are Doing, when you already know what you're love what you are doing? So I'm talking to the rest of you, right? What you need to do is think about what that is for you. And, you know, if you're not doing it, well, let's put it this way. Maybe you already know what it is, but you have some excuse that's preventing you from getting started to do it. Okay, now, life is short. What are you waiting for? I mean, you don't want to wait for retirement or something, right? I mean, when your eyesight is going and you're hoping that you can have the stamina to do it? No, don't wait. Do it, okay? As a matter of fact, doing your purpose will make you younger, live longer, and it actually helps to prevent things like Alzheimer's. I'm serious. There's studies that show this. So knowing your purpose is really important and doing your purpose. So if so, like, why aren't you doing it, okay? Don't put it off any longer. I guess you can tell this is an area I spend a lot of time with in my time with my clients because they're basically paying me to help them see possibilities and not excuses and get results. Yeah, baby. So that's what I do. So, okay, I know some of you are thinking that you don't have a clue about what you love doing. And I have a couple of questions for you, some things for you to think about, ponder. Again, this is an area that I do a lot of work with in my clients. Some of people come to me and they already know what they love. They're just trying to figure out how to get to do it. Other people are kind of lost and trying to identify it because they're just so close to it. So here's a couple of questions. What is it that you do that you can't help doing, and you can't help doing it, like, and you enjoy doing it so much you would even do it for free? And, hey, you might even do it for free. That's something to think about. So maybe that, of course, is what you love. Another question I like to use is actually a fill-in-the-blank. If we did or thought or knew blank, like people, if people did or they thought a certain way or they knew something, period, you know, like fill in that blank, then the world would be a much better place. Now, for me, I know what I love. It's helping to inspire people to be empowered so they can step into their power. So when I fill in the blank, it's something like, if the world knew they were more personally powerful over their own lives or empowered in their own lives than they think they are, then the world would be a much better place. So what is that for you if you fill in the blank? By the way, going back to the previous question, what would you do for free? For me, it's writing. And as a matter of fact, I was just seeing my daughter this weekend, and she has always loved and is very talented in art, and she likes to sketch and paint, and she's an artist. That's not what she does for a living. She works in the financial industry, but she always does art and loves art, and so she is doing what she loves. And today she was painting something for her friend, and she was doing it for free. So I'm telling you, she has done art for pay, and she's done it for free. So what is that for you? And then fill in the blank. If people in the world did, thought, or knew blank, the world would be a much better place. Last thing Will Rogers says in his quote is, and believe in what you are doing. Well, I think that last suggestion that I made about answering those questions takes care of that. It helps you to identify what you love, and you have to know, I love this so much that I believe in doing it. So you have to believe in it and have that confidence. But to add one more thought, you need to be confident, really, just like I mentioned, when you go after something you love. I mean, if you were on bended knee proposing marriage to someone, you would need to be 100% sure you're wanting to marry that person. I mean, your fiance wouldn't want you to hear you say, I sort of love you. If you sort of believed in the marriage, how could you expect it to be successful? Same thing with anything you pursue in life, including your career. So you have to believe in it. So remember what he says. You have to love it. You have to believe it. You have to believe in it. Okay, so that does it for today. Thanks so much for tuning in for the program. I hope you'll join me next time. I'll be broadcasting live on October 4th. I'll be talking about career again. It'll be called Taking Control of Your Career, something I've been talking to people about for many years. I want to talk about some of the workplace trends that we're seeing and how they affect your career. And I want to give you some specific tips to help you thrive and, well, take control rather than be at the mercy of other people and their motivations and how they affect your career. And before I go, I just want to say one thing real quick. In a couple of shows from now, I'll have a guest, and I'm excited about that. I'll tell you more on our next program on October 4th about the guest that's coming on the second Sunday in October. But she's going to talk to us about mindfulness, so I'm pretty excited about that show. All right, so I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to thank Doom Dance and Kevin McLeod for our music today. Please use the resource links to check out the website for these musicians. And I also have included some other information related to today's topic, including the Christian Science Monitor article. And if you're interested in my books and programs, or you want to connect with me through social media, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm out there. Feel free to check me out, and you can go to angelaloeb.com. That's angelaloeb.com. In the meantime, you can find me here doing live broadcasts of Be Radiant Radio every first and third Sunday. I hope you'll join me next time on October 4th for Taking Control of Your Career. In the meantime, be well and shine on.